Our Old Testament lessons from Exodus 20, verses 1, 2, and 12. Beloved, hear the word of the Lord. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ by promise and shadow in these pages. Help us to understand these words for thy name's sake. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 39 through 52. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Let us pray. Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And we ask you to give us your spirit so that we may understand the fullness of your truth. Amen.
Well, congregation of Jesus Christ, after God heard the cries of his people under their bondage of slavery in Egypt, he sent Moses to deliver them. And you remember in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22 and 23, God tells Moses this. He says, Then you shall say to Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. Let my son go, that he may serve me. So the people of Israel were called out by God as his son. And after God delivered them from their oppression, he brought them to the foot of Mount Sinai. And as you know, this is where the Lord God entered into a national covenant with his son Israel. And the children of Israel agreed to keep the terms of this covenant, as we read that in Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 8, just before the giving of the law here in Exodus chapter 20. And then Jehovah God, our Lord God, delivered the law to Moses to declare to the people. And in this covenant, there was an echo of the covenant of works from the garden, that if they obeyed God's commandments, they'd be the treasured possession of God in the promised land and remain in it. But if they failed to keep the covenant, they'd be dispossessed of the land and be carried away into exile. And the first part of the Ten Commandments consists of commands 1 through 4, having to do with our duty to love God. And this morning, we begin to examine the second part of the Ten Commandments, which consists of commands 5 through 10, having to do with our duty to love our neighbor. But as we'll discover, obeying the second table of the law toward our neighbor is still part of obeying the first part of toward God. We love God not only by obeying the first four commandments, but we also love God by serving our neighbor in obedience to the second part of the law. And so these two parts go hand in hand. And so we come now this morning to the fifth commandment. And so this commandment teaches us to honor God by honoring our fathers and mothers and also all others who are in authority over us. And so as Christians, this is a very tangible way to show our thankfulness to God for redeeming us from our sins in Christ. And so consider with me this morning these 3 points about the fifth commandment. First, Israel's commandment to honor authority. Second, the true Israel's honoring of authority. And third, our commandment to honor authority. And so first of all, let's jump into Israel's commandment to honor authority. Look with me at the beginning of Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. Now, the Hebrew word there for honor is kaved, and it means to make heavy, or it's related to the word make heavy or weighty. And so this is also, interestingly, the word used in the Old Testament to describe the glory of God. It communicates that God's divine majesty and that God's divine authority is weighty. It is hefty. And so the Israelites, when they heard the word honor in relation to their parents, they understood they were to recognize their parents as having God's weighty authority invested in them as his earthly representatives. And so therefore, honoring one's parents was to acknowledge their appropriate weight that their position deserves. And so to honor is to respect, is to hold in high esteem and to value fathers and mothers as the gifts that they are from God. And so it is interesting and important here to note that this commandment is the beginning of that second part of the Ten Commandments, Commandments 5 through 10, which focuses on loving our neighbors. And one writer explains it this way: in telling us how to treat one another, God starts with our families. Loving our neighbor starts at home. And so this is one reason why we believe that the family is the foundational unit for all of society. And so outside of our relationship with the Lord, there is no other more foundational relationship for the preservation and the well-functioning of society. As Augustine, as some say, wrote, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? I mean, think about that. And the answer to that rhetorical question is, there is not likely anyone that he will spare if he doesn't honor his parents at home. And so the family unit is the foundation of society. And so God begins the second table of the law with the commandment to honor your father and your mother. And God takes this command very, very seriously. Just listen to a couple of verses that really demonstrates this quite clearly. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16, says, cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. Cursed be anyone. And then Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9 says, for anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him. So God takes this commandment very seriously and instituted even the death penalty for violating it. And so if parents are weighty, then they are not to be treated lightly or dishonored in any way. And at the end of the day, Israel, as God's son, was to model the relationship with their heavenly father in their relationship with their earthly fathers and mothers. Just as Israel was to honor or to give due weight to God as their heavenly father, so the Israelite children and all the Israelites really were to honor, respect, and submit to their parents on earth. And then the promise of living long in the land is a Hebrew phrase that really ultimately means the promise of the fullness of God's blessing. And so I think God understands that children are often very much rewarded or motivated by rewards, right? And so he gives them this promise. You will live long in the land. You will have the fullness of his blessings if you honor your father and your mother, he says to them. And so as Israel was to submit to God as their heavenly father and remain in the land as a result, so were children to submit to their earthly parents in order to receive the fullness of his blessings in the promised land of Canaan that overflows with milk and honey. And so we see that even children in Israel were to obey God's commandments. And one of those commandments was to honor their parents. And if they don't, they themselves will also contribute to the nation being exiled from the promised land. And another reason why they were to honor their parents is because this is how they would first learn and know and serve and how to serve God and learning about his salvation. It comes first from seeing and hearing that from their parents. And of all the ways that children were to honor their parents, the most important way was to listen to what they say about God and his ways. And so it is for our children and young people today. So parents, that's a hefty calling, isn't it? Seek the Lord to help you. Faithfully reflect and speak the ways of God to your children so that they might accurately see and hear about the true and living God from you. That is your calling as parents. And the Israelites also understood from this command that they were to honor all who were in authority over them beyond just their parents. And we know that because they used the title father in relationships outside of the home. So let me give you a few examples. They referred to their king as their father in 1 Samuel 24, verse 11. And they also sometimes refer to the prophets as fathers. For instance, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. And even the elders of Israel were honored with the title of father, as were the patriarchs of Israel. And we see that explicitly even in the New Testament in Acts chapter 7, verse 2. And if you go back and read those verses, you would see that they extended this title to father. And when you then think back about this commandment to honor your father and mother, it would make sense that the hearers would extend this honoring beyond just honoring their parents, but to all who are in authority over them as instituted by God. But sadly, as the history of Israel and the history of redemption were to unfold further, the Israelites failed to keep this commandment, along with the others as well. And that contributed, their breaking of this fifth commandment contributed tragically to their exile from the promised land. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 6 through 7, the prophet says, "Behold, the princes of Israel in you, every one according to his power, have been bent on shedding blood. Father and mother are treated with contempt in you. The sojourner suffers extortion in your midst. The fatherless and the widow are wronged in you," and so on and so forth. And so breaking the fifth commandment here is listed among some pretty heinous sins that contributed to Israel being ejected from the promised land. And so the people failed not only to honor their fathers and mothers, who were God's appointed authority over them, they ultimately failed, though, to honor the highest authority, God himself, in the process, as Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 says. So their lack of honor for parents reflected their lack of honor and submission to God. And so it is for us as well. They broke the terms of the covenant, and tragically, they suffered the just punishment of God and were cast away from his blessings into the slavery of the surrounding pagan nations. And so Israel's failure, it stands as an example to us of how we can't earn or maintain favor with God by our works of obedience to the law. We need a Savior to perform the necessary good works in our place before a holy God, don't we? And that's exactly what God has provided for his people in Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our second point here this morning, the true Israel's honoring of authority. Adam, as you remember, dishonored his heavenly Father by breaking the covenant of works in the garden, and he was exiled from it. Then Israel as a nation also dishonored their heavenly Father by dishonoring their parents and were exiled from the land of Canaan. Everyone failed. But Christ came, praise the Lord, God be praised. Christ came as the second Adam, as the last Adam, as the true Israel. He came as the spotless Son of God, and he honored his Father and all authority perfectly in his people's place where they had all failed. He honored and submitted to his Father by perfectly fulfilling the covenant of redemption that he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit entered into from before time began. In that great covenant made before time, he promised to take up human flesh and perfectly save all those whom the Father gave to him to die and rise again for. And that is exactly what he, as the eternally begotten Son of God, willingly did. Jesus came as the mediator of the covenant of grace that God cut with Abraham 400 years before the Mosaic covenant here at Sinai. And he took up our same human flesh, yet thankfully without our sinful nature. And he lived the perfect life of obedience, fulfilling the fifth commandment to honor God, his Father, his earthly parents, and other temporal authorities, all in his people's place. And then he died on the cross, suffering for the sins of his people, for their breaking of the fifth commandment, their dishonoring of God, their dishonoring of their earthly parents and the authorities of this temporal world, even though he had never committed any sin or that sin, not even one time during all the time that he walked on the earth. And yet he died on the cross for the sins of his people that broke this commandment and all the others. And we see proof of his obedience to the fifth commandment all over the New Testament scriptures. Jesus honored his earthly father and mother, as we heard in the New Testament lesson. Jesus and his parents, they caravaned up to Jerusalem, and they lost him. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus, right? Oh, that gives me such hope. Oh, man. But think about it. It says in verse 51, so Mary and Joseph are like, "What are you doing, Jesus? We were in great distress looking for you." He's like, "Well, didn't you know I needed to be about my Father's business?" He wasn't being disrespectful to his parents. He was honoring the Father who was calling him to be in his Father's house. He's the Son of God. And so then they grab him, get him back in the caravan, and I'm sure they got laser eyes on him this time. And they make their way back down home. And it says in verse 51, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them." Jesus honored his father and his mother here on earth. He was submissive to them. And also we see that he honored his earthly father and mother in John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27 there, that Jesus, just before he died on the cross, I mean, he's suffering on the cross. He's being crucified for our sins. He made provisions to take care of his mother by telling John to watch over her. You remember that, right? So even in his dying moments, he was honoring his mother, his parents, caring for them. And Jesus also honored the temporal authorities as well. Mark chapter 12, verse 17, Jesus said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And Jesus honored the highest authority, his heavenly Father, in all things by obeying his will, even when it was tremendously difficult for him to do so. In John 6, verse 38, Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." He came to do the will of his Father, and he sought and did honor his Father in doing and completing that work, even at the cost of his very own life. And in Matthew 26, verse 39, you remember when Jesus was praying and going a little farther, he fell on his face in great agony, vexed, saying, "My Father," thinking about what is about to come in his horrible crucifixion on the cross and his death. He says, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus honored his Father in heaven, even to the point of death. And we see that again written in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And this is what our Savior did, the lengths to which he went to redeem us from our breaking of the fifth commandment and our breaking of all of God's law. Jesus never wavered in honoring his Father to the bitter end of his life. And so Christ succeeded in fulfilling the fifth commandment where we all and everyone else has failed, from his birth all the way to his death on the cross, so that he might save God's people from their sinful failures under the old covenant and as well as us under the new covenant. Praise the Lord. And that brings us to our third point here this morning, our commandment to honor authority. The fifth commandment, it still applies to us today, but it comes to us not as a national covenant with a works element in it like it did for Israel, which essentially said, "Do this and live." No, it comes to us in the new covenant, in Christ, as revealing our sinfulness, pointing us then to Christ's work of fulfilling it on our behalf. And then it comes to us again and it says, "Do this because Christ fulfilled it for you. Do this because you now live in Christ." So we seek now to obey the fifth commandment, not to earn our right status before God and our justification and our eternal life, but we do it now because Jesus has merited those things for us in our place, and we simply now show our thankfulness to God in our obedience to his commands. And let's spend a few minutes considering how this commandment to honor our fathers and mothers applies to us today. And then also let it point us to Christ, too. And so, children, now I'm speaking to you kids here in our midst. Maybe you're not used to having the pastor up front talking to you during the sermon, but I am. So put down your Cheerios and your fruit roll-ups and your drink boxes and listen to what the Word of God has to say to you. God wants to speak to you through his Word today because you're important to him. You are just as important to him as every other person and adult in this room. And so God loves you as his covenant children, and he wants to speak to you through his word. And so listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 here, okay? Just listen up. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." And there in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is quoting from the fifth commandment, isn't he? Directly. He says, "This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." And so God says to you this morning, honor your father and your mother. Obey your parents. And when it says to do that in the Lord, that is, not only does that communicate to you that you are part of the covenant community, if you are children of believers, but it also is to communicate to you that your parents represent God's authority to you. Have you ever thought about your parents that way? they represent God's authority to you. And so we must obey them, we must respect them, and we must love them in our hearts. They are God's authority over your life. This is how you are to honor your parents. And you honor God. You honor God when you honor your parents. What a blessing that is. You too get to honor God. You have a part in bringing glory to your heavenly Father by honoring the authority in your parents that He has set over you. You honor God by honoring them. And our catechism repeats this same command, and it helps us to understand further how the fifth commandment applies to us today. Listen to what the will of God is for us in the fifth commandment. It says there that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Now, children, I know, and young people, I know you're very well aware of the shortcomings of your parents, and you probably get great joy in pointing them out to them. But God here, in his wisdom, and our forefathers in the faith, in summarizing God's word, says that we must even be patient with our parents' shortcomings and all those who are in authority over us, and to be patient with their shortcomings. And so in the same way that the Israelites understood that this commandment dealt with those in authority in addition to parents, so we who are in the new covenant are to understand the same thing. We're to honor and respect not only our parents, but young people and children. You're also to honor and respect all who are in authority over you in this world. And so, children, when you rebel against your parents or any other authority over you by talking back or by not doing what they told you to do, or even when you talk bad about them or anybody else in authority to your friends, you're breaking the fifth commandment. And ultimately, you are dishonoring God by that disobedience. Think about that. So when this happens, when you find that you have dishonored and disobeyed your parents, what should you do? Well, when this happens, confess your sins to Jesus. Confess your sins to Jesus and remember the good news. And confess your sin to your parents too. And remember that Jesus obeyed the fifth commandment even in your place. Yes, you, little ones, young people, children, Jesus, the good news of Jesus is for you too when you break this commandment. He lived out the fifth commandment perfectly in all the ways that you have failed in it. And so you can confidently confess your failing to God through Jesus Christ and be assured that He forgives you because of Jesus' sake and because of Jesus' love for you. And if your parents are mature in the faith, they will forgive you too as they understand that they are to forgive even as Christ has forgiven them. And so then, and then again, seek to respect your father and your mother as a way for you to show God that you love Him and that you are thankful because He's forgiven all of your sins. And one day when you move out of your parents' house, you still must respect them. You still must honor them, even though you will no longer be required to do everything they say. And you might be thinking, I can't wait for that day, right? But you still must honor them, give them respect, listen to them, hear them out, care for them when they are in need. That never goes away. And you must remember at that point that even after you leave your parents' house, you are still under God's authority for the rest of your life, and that you must obey Him and all those whom He has placed in authority over you in society with the help of His grace. And so, now parents, I know you're like, yeah, Pastor, get him, right? I thought I had those thoughts, man. As I was preparing this sermon, oh man, no, my children listen. No, but these things apply to the rest of us as well. This isn't just for our children in our midst, but it is for us too. All of us are under authority in one form or another for our entire lives, aren't we? And it's important for us to recognize this because our culture today teaches us that we're our own ultimate authority. And the scripture says that we know that we are in the last times because people will be lovers of themselves and disobedient to parents. Listen to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And Romans 1, verse 28 through 31 says something similar. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That's an awful list, isn't it? And disobeying or dishonoring your parents, all of us in this room, is listed in that heinous list here in Romans 1. But God's word teaches us, the church, something different than our self-centered culture, doesn't it? Ultimately, he is always our authority, and we honor and respect him by honoring and respecting all authority that he places over us. As Romans 13:7 says, as we heard in our law reading this morning in our service, Romans 13:7, the apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, pay to all what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. That's a pretty clear commandment, isn't it? To honor and respect all those who are in authority over us. And so this means that we must respect all our governing civil authorities, even when we disagree with them. God has appointed them to rule over us, as Romans tells us. And all of this means even also that wives are to honor and respect the authority of their husbands as unto the Lord, as Ephesians 5 tells us. And Ephesians 5 also tells us, husbands, you are to submit and honor to Christ and reflect his tender love and care toward your wife and toward your children. And so your headship in your home is not for yourself. It's not a dictatorship. Your role in the home is given to you by God himself for you to reflect your heavenly Father's love and care for your family. And if you get that wrong, you're dishonoring the Lord. You're not honoring your Father in heaven at that point. So men, remember, you are not an authority unto yourself, even in your own homes. You too must submit to the authority in your home, God's authority, and pattern your home. I exhort you, pattern your home to honor him and remember how Christ cherishes his bride, his family, the church. He serves us in love. He's not a despot toward us, thankfully. And all of us in the church also are to honor, respect, and submit to those whom God has appointed over us in the church, our elders and our pastors. And the office bearers, as they know, are not to lord it over you. Because they too are to submit to Christ themselves in the process under his authority. And as our catechism teaches us, when those in authority over us show their infirmities and imperfections, we're to bear with them, even as Christ bears with us and forgives us. And so we can see in this fifth commandment here, it really does structure the lives of believers in the church and in the world. Now, sometimes, however, we must disobey an authority, and we've got to talk about that briefly, especially if they require us to do something that God's word forbids, or if they require us to stop doing something that God's word commands us to do, right? Because he's the highest authority. He rules over all other authority. You remember the apostles, Peter, you know, he was preaching the gospel, and he was put in jail for it. You remember in Acts chapter 5. And then miraculously they were delivered from jail, right? And then the Pharisees and scribes found Peter preaching again out in the marketplace, out in the world there. And they were like, well, how did this happen? He was in jail, and now he's out here preaching again to all Jerusalem. And it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through 29, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. So they rearrested them, brought them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And so there are instances where it is appropriate for us to disobey an authority when they forbid us to do something that God commands, or if they try to require us to stop doing something. And so when we consider our duty as Christians to honor all those in authority over us, it becomes clear, I think, at least I hope it becomes clear to you, that in one way or another, you understand that you and I understand that I have not obeyed the fifth commandment as we ought to have. And so we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Romans 3:23 says. And in this way, the law truly does reveal our sinfulness. The law, in turn, then leads us to trust in Christ alone for our salvation, as Galatians 3:24 tells us. And the good news is that the Savior whom God sent to Israel is the Savior who was sent for us as well. All of his perfect obedience, his act of obedience to the fifth commandment and the rest of the law was lived out perfectly in our place. He never spoke an uncaring word to his parents. He never badmouthed them to his friends. He never silently hated them in his heart when they told him to do something. He never purposely took a long time to obey them in order to spite them. And he never flagrantly refused to do their will. And he didn't fail to care for his parents, even when he saw his mother in need while he was on the cross and arranged for John to take care of her. And as adults, when we see our parents in need at times, especially when they are aging, we're called to care for them. And in that way, we honor them. And we honor the Lord. Yet even if we do seek to honor them in this way, we may still sometimes despise them in our hearts for inconveniencing us. Jesus never did this, thankfully. He honored his earthly father and mother completely, both inwardly and outwardly. He loved his parents in his heart without fail. When he honored and obeyed his parents with his outward actions, it was perfectly matched with an inward attitude of respect and love. And so, children and young people, how often we have outwardly obeyed our parents, all the while despising them in our hearts for telling us to do something we don't want to do. Thank God that Jesus didn't do this in our place. And Jesus honored all other temporal authorities without hesitation as well. And so he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He lived out this commandment perfectly. And he died on the cross for all our dishonoring of authorities and dishonoring of our parents and dishonoring of God, even though he had never committed any of our sin. And he died and he experienced God's wrath, which was against us, so that he could satisfy it and set us free from the condemnation of the law and rescue us from eternal damnation. So if you've trusted in Christ alone this morning, these things are true for you. Your sins are forgiven, praise God. And so, in light of this, don't live as your culture lives, dishonoring authority. Live like the blood-bought Christian that you are instead. And so, in conclusion, I encourage you to examine your hearts and your lives and your actions this morning to consider whether or not you need to make amends with your parents, your boss, your spouse, your friends, the government, the elders and pastors of your church, and so on and so forth. And in God's grace, by the power of Christ's resurrection spirit, go to them and honor them by making amends, if that's you today. And show your thankfulness to God by doing so. And in the process, you'll be giving God the due honor he deserves in your life. So since you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, loved ones, delivered from the bondage of hell, live now to honor your Father in heaven by honoring, valuing, respecting your father and mother and all those whom God has appointed over you in this life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood and righteousness of our Savior. God, we confess that we are sinners and that we have broken the fifth commandment, but we thank you that our Savior has redeemed us from our sins by his perfect life, death, and resurrection. We pray that you would well up a wonderful gratitude in our hearts that might show forth the fruits of repentance and gratitude in honoring our parents and all those whom you've put in authority over us. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.